Ever since Janet Jackson's wardrobe malfunction at the Super Bowl, the word broadcast indecency has become part of our everyday lexicon. Not that there weren't complaints about it before, not that it wasn't a topic of discussion before, but that was the one that opened up the floodgates, and the FCC was supposedly swarmed with complaints from, the vast majority of America. We were so outraged and continue to be outraged, and the airwaves are poisoned, and our children are being ruined, and on and on and on. You've heard this over and over again. But is the FCC really getting bombarded with huge numbers of complaints, and who are those complaints coming from? That's a question that needs to be asked and answered, which is why I've invited Adam Thierer onto the show today. He's a senior fellow at the Progress and Freedom Foundation who has just put out a report called Examining the FCC's Complaint-Driven Broadcast Indecency Enforcement Process. Adam, welcome to the Paul Harris Show.
Thanks for having me.
So, does the FCC get bombarded with huge numbers of complaints? And define huge for me if the answer is yes.
Well, that's a good question. And unfortunately, it's tough to know because of the way that apparently the FCC has been generally cooking the books a little bit when it comes to indecency complaints.
What do you mean, cooking the books?
What I mean by that is that there's complaints that come in from certain activist groups, and most notably a group named the Parents Television Council, who basically has created an online sort of automated complaint factory that makes it very easy to send a lot of emails to the FCC. They really pushed hard at the FCC in the past couple of years for essentially methodological changes to the way indecency complaints were counted. One change was that before, all those complaints that came from PTC were counted as a group complaint, but now they're all counted individually. But the more important change that came in early 2004 basically said that every time a complaint went to any single one of the five FCC commissioners or one of the bureaus that receives these complaints, it would be counted again and again and again and again and again. So now we have basically complaint inflation at the FCC by a factor of, we're not quite sure exactly how much, but maybe like 3 to 7. And almost all of it is due to this one activist group called the Parents Television Council.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, just to throw out some numbers here, in July, they got 23,547 complaints at the FCC. 23,547. According to the Parents Television Council's own website, they filed, in July, 23,542 complaints. In other words, all but five of the complaints
really
that went to the FCC came from one group.
And it wasn't just that month. It was basically almost every month over the past several years. In fact, in the year of the Super Bowl incident, a Freedom of Information by one group revealed that 99% of all the complaints were coming from the PTC, the Parents Television Council. So again, the question here is, are we giving a heckler's veto over content determinations in this country? Because these shows that they don't like get fined and potentially taken off the air.
Now, when you say a heckler's veto, these are Americans who, I'm playing devil's advocate here for just a second, these are Americans who see things on TV that they don't like and they want to complain, and isn't that the way the process is supposed to work?
Well, but not being double and triple and quadruple counted, of course. We would hope it would be one complaint or one vote, one complaint, essentially. Again, what's really troubling here is that the way we're counting indecency complaints is not the way we're apparently counting, say, cable rate complaints or quality of television complaints or any other type of complaint. So we've essentially thoroughly politicized just one type of complaint because it's politically popular to do so, and one group has had such an overwhelming voice in this process, they've succeeded in doing this.
And does that group, the PTC, make it incredibly easy for somebody to just go to the website, see something that they want to complain about, click on
a
button?
In fact, they create campaigns against specific shows. Shows, I might add, are some of the most popular shows on television, like CSI or Desperate Housewives. Something like 25 to even 30 million people tune in every week to watch some of those shows, which PTC wants to see fined or taken off the air. Well, what about the 25 million people? Well, they just turn off their televisions and go to bed happy. They don't write an FCC letter and say, hey, I love that show, keep it on.
Yeah, or if they're upset, maybe they don't watch the show next week when it's on, which is really how the voting should work in this country. By the way, I'm looking at the PTC website right now, and my favorite part of their website is where they list the best and worst shows. And if you click on the worst shows, which, as Adam mentions, I'm looking here, NCIS, The O.C., Arrested Development, Fear Factor, Grey's Anatomy, which is, I think, number two show on TV behind Desperate Housewives, Law and Order, SVU, Cold Case, Family Guy. These are all Boston Legal.
They're all very popular shows.
Will and Grace, Fear Factor, they're all hugely popular shows. But the funny thing to me about this, because they always couch this thing in, we have to protect the kids.
Right.
If you click on any of these shows on the worst side of the PTC website, you are then taken to a page where you can see a clip full of the sort of stuff that they object to. They put up a warning that says graphic video, explicit video. Of course, it's not explicit like it's XXX. It's just stuff that they don't approve of. And yet here they are taking this stuff that they don't approve of and making it an easily accessible resource all in one place. And if kids did go online, they could easily get to this website because it's not an X-rated website either. It's the Parents Television Council. It sounds perfectly clean.
Well, moreover, let's just make the point about protecting children. I have two children, and I want to maybe screen some content away from them at this young age. The fact is, that's my parental responsibility. I make that choice. I have a lot of controls on my cable box and a V-chip in my television. I now have the most wonderful tool of parental control ever made, the TiVo, where I can build up a library that my wife and I have great stuff we love for our kids, and then have them watch it in front of a single television and say, you can watch it a few hours a day, just these shows. That's called personal and parental responsibility, as opposed to what Parents Television Council want, which is to speak on all of our behalf and basically invite Uncle Sam in to play the role of surrogate parent.
It's the Paul Harris Show on News Talk 1120 KMOX, talking with Adam Thierer from the Progress and Freedom Foundation, who actually looked into the FCC tally of complaints about broadcast indecency. Even though we find out that 99% of these are coming from one special interest group, is there an increase in the interest from people who are complaining about this, or is it kind of leveling off, Adam?
Well, we're not really quite sure because, again, because there's been games played with the indecency statistics at the FCC, the two changes I mentioned in particular, it's very difficult to be able to track these things because, essentially, if you try to look back over, say, 2000, 2001, we counted things one way, and then we counted them a different way in 2002, 2003, and yet another way in 2004. So we're trying to compare apples to oranges to bananas now. And so when I, as a sort of social scientist and a political scientist, try to track trends in government, one of the things I have to rely on or expect is good data. If I'm looking at inflation or productivity, I expect that the books haven't been cooked. But in this case, something very fishy is going on.
Yeah, and the problem for me is that the people who are complaining to the FCC about this, what they're asking for is nanny government. As you said before the break, people who have TVs and kids in their home should know how to control both of those things. One of them, at least, has an off switch. The other one has timeouts. but there are all these electronic devices. You know, if you've got cable, you can do ratings and channel locks. Same thing with satellite TV. If you've just got broadcast TV, you can have the V-chip in there. But Americans, unfortunately, are lazy. And rather than figuring out how to use these wonderful electronic tools, they want the government to get in the way for them, don't they?
Well, unfortunately, I think there is some truth to that. I don't want to claim that all parents are lazy. I think some definitely are. They just think that some of this stuff should not be on TV at all, and then they complain when they see it in their homes. And they act as if sort of television and cable and satellite are invaders in their home. Well, guess what? Those televisions and cable boxes didn't have legs and just walk into your living room. You paid to put them there. In fact, you paid probably pretty good money to put them there. Moreover, I want to make another point here. Today's youngsters are consuming a lot of media in a very unconventional way, not from the old sources, but from things like Apple iPods and PlayStation portables and their cell phones and the Internet. These technologies are not regulated in any way, and yet we have a strange situation where the oldest technologies, like the one we're on right now, broadcast radio, are treated like second-class citizens in the eyes of the First Amendment for our FCC right now. It's just not fair.
And are we dealing with an FCC? Let's leave out the special interest groups alone. Let's talk about the FCC itself. Yes. Is it now made up of commissioners who are more amenable to crackdowns?
Absolutely. This is very much a bipartisan thing, I want to stress. It's Republicans and Democrats. In fact, the two ringleaders of this are Kevin Martin, the Republican chairman of the FCC, and Michael Copps, the very far-left Democrat on the FCC. They totally agree on, quote-unquote, cracking down on broadcast television and even, to some extent, cable and satellite. So the real thing to watch now is this effort going on at the FCC and in Congress to expand regulation. And what we're talking about here is censorship, expanding it to subscription-based media like cable and satellite and other sources.
I think if you want to see a revolution in this country, let the FCC try to crack down on The Sopranos when it comes back in March.
Let me give you an interesting statistic. Of the 85% of homes that have cable or satellite, again, 85% of homes in this country already subscribe to cable or satellite, 55% of them already get HBO. Well, does that mean HBO is in enough homes and is popular enough that we should wash Tony Soprano's mouth out with soap? I hope not, but, you know, that's the logic of what they're saying here or what they're advocating.
Great stuff, Adam. Thanks for your time today.
Thanks for having me.
Adam Thierer, who's a senior fellow at the Progress and Freedom Foundation here on the Paul Harris Show on News Talk 1120 KMOX.